This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. You keep on rubbing on my head like you're trying to get a genie out. I suggest instead present your problem freely and easy how. Let's put it into words and then dismantle. This is the technique that I prefer. It's good as handled if I've heard it. You need a verdict or a parsing. The perfect.
This is the title track from MC Frontalot's new CD called Song. MC Frontalot is a 30-something former web designer, graduate of Wesleyan University, and a current resident of Brooklyn. He's also at the forefront of the hip-hop genre known as nerdcore. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. But first, MC Frontalot, also known as Damien Hess. On Facebook, he describes himself as the world's 579th greatest rapper. And he says, this has been scientifically determined by scientists using science. MC Frontalot has just released his fifth studio album called Solved. And he'll be performing at the Middle East Upstairs in Cambridge next Wednesday. And he joins us today from Jacksonville, Florida. And MC Frontalot, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure's all mine. I've got my band with me, too.
Well, that's great. I'm going to ask you to introduce them in a moment, but let me ask you a couple of questions first. I read that you actually coined the term nerdcore, so you're probably the best person to ask the question. What is it?
Nerdcore. Well, it's a kind of hip-hop that is pretty much the same as all the rest of the hip-hop, except that in order to be a nerdcore rapper, you would not necessarily have to be very cool. You might be the shy fellow in the corner of the room.
So your given name is Damien Hess. Where did the name MC Frontalot come from?
Well, it just sort of represents the amount of fronting I would have to do to pick up a microphone and try to convince everyone that they should pay attention to me. It's like a large amount of fronting. Also, I figured that was a name that no other rappers would try to take from me, as most self-respecting rappers try to convince you that they're not fronting and that they would never.
So, listen, I've done my math, I think. You were a kid when hip-hop was getting its start in the 80s. Did you listen to a lot of rap music back then?
I did. I got particularly into it, I think, when everybody in the country did. Like, MTV started showing it regularly. They launched Yo MTV Raps, maybe 89. It's hard to say facts on the radio when you don't know exactly what they are, because basically everyone listening can look at their telephone and say, oh, no, it's 91, Frontalot. You know nothing of hip-hop's history. But anyway, when I was in junior high or high school, it was coming into the national consciousness. And the first one I bought, I think, was DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, their first record.
Oh, right.
But it was followed quickly by NWA and Public Enemy and De La Soul.
Now, I understand, as you mentioned, you've got your bandmates there. Do you want to introduce them and then play something for us?
Sure. We've got on the drums the Stir Genius, a.k.a. R. Sturgis Cunningham. We've got regularly on the bass, but today on the acoustical guitar for our unplugged session, Black Lotus, also known as Brandon Patton. And usually on the keyboards, but today on the nothing, we have Vic 20, also known as Ken Flagg. He will be singing the chorus.
Terrific. So what are you going to do for us?
This one's called Spoiler Alert. It's off of my previous record, Zero Day. It's a song that seeks to ruin the endings of various works of literature, cinema, historical events, and some of the wonders of childhood.
You're annoyed when I talk during the film. Just another classic that you haven't seen. But still, just another ill in the head in the plot. You're like, Norman Bates, is that all you got? Might I guess from the name of the thing. Don't complain that you never heard the ending of The Crying Game. Well, it's a penis. This point, a shaggy dog. Just nothing to see here. Move along. The apes ruled the earth. Vader's pop for the Luke. A Brad Pitt and Ed Norton are obviously two people. But they gotta share one character. Bruce ain't alive, kid, no matter how he stare. Just Snape kills Dumbledore, but with the noble motive. Everybody's guilty on the Oriental locomotive. Fights villainy ends, world squabbling. And Deckard is a replicant, probably.
Say I ruin everything for you. Well, it's mutual. Say I ruin everything for you. Well, it's mutual.
Don't wager on survival for Bambi's mom. Artax or Old Yeller, Mufasa, King Kong, all spawn of Medea should fear for your throat. All on the Titanic should fear for your boat. Yo, Frontalot, cave it away before it happened. If you're in Moby Dick, then I hope you're not the captain. If you are, then I urge rethink revenge. Cause you're headed for the bottom and you're bringing your friends. Fall into Wonderland, you're definitely dreaming. Sleeping by the stream and all is only semen. You're living in the Bible, it ends in Armageddon. If you're in the Y2K, it's less upsetting. Living in the 80s, spoiler game. wham. Spaceships can blow up, trickle down. Economics is a scam, but you'll figure that out. I don't want to wreck the ending for you, make you pout.
Say I ruined everything for you. Well, it's mutual. Well, it's mutual. Say I ruined everything for you. Well, it's mutual. Well, it's mutual.
All right. That was Spoiler Alert. From MC Frontalot performing for us today here on Radio Boston. MC Frontalot, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
So I wanted to ask you a little bit more about nerd culture. You know, the uber fashionable hip-hop star Kanye West has made bow ties and cardigan stylish. I mean, we're really sort of talking geek chic here, and I'm wondering if you think nerd culture is becoming too mainstream, maybe even co-opted.
Well, there's a long tradition of the cool kids feigning ugliness and unfashionability in order to prove how cool they really are. And, of course, the trappings of nerd outfits will disappear from the cool kids at some point, and they will start wearing, I don't know what, Gilded Age top hats and monocles or something. Something will come next for the cool kids. And we, the nerd kids, will be stuck with our bow ties, at which point perhaps we will look retro.
Okay, all right. Well, let me ask you about some of the songs on your latest CD. The titles, here are some of them. Front the Least, Nerd versus Jock, Victorian Space Prostitute. All of those seem to fit into a sort of nerd aesthetic. But let me ask you about the first single off this new album, Critical Hit. And I want to just play a little bit of that and we'll listen to it. And then I want to come back and ask you about it.
Got to sometimes feel like, oh my God, life's so good. I'm on the cover of a lot of magazines. Nope, I don't say all, but I've been practicing my big TV grin and charming banter. Interviewers always follow upping on the answers. Prancers such as I lift heels up. Get your people here, we'll set some nails up. But don't fuss my pretty little with the chores. I'm critically acclaimed and I've never ignored. Now, notice that none of that's true. Front a lot got inauthentic.
I'll tell you about that song. I just sort of was walking around feeling happy one day and I thought, this little hook.
Sometimes feel like, oh my God, life's so good.
It's this sort of one of those ridiculous like celebration lyrics that you're always hearing on the radio where people are just so thrilled to be doing whatever they're doing right now, generally going out, drinking, and or spending money on things. The problem for someone who thinks about those kind of songs critically is how can you live with yourself if you actually feel like life is great, even for 5 minutes? So the song is about how it's great that I'm so popular and famous. Except, oh wait, I'm neither popular nor famous. But at least I have like unending critical acclaim. Except, of course, I don't have that either. And then in that situation, how on earth are you supposed to sing about how great life is? It's like, oh well, I still get to get up every morning and be a professional rapper. So for God's sake, it's like I rolled a 20-sided die and it came up with a 20, which is the nerd meaning of the term critical hit. It has nothing to do with notices posted in the press. It has to do with hitting the natural 20.
Well, let me ask you about your writing process. How quickly do these songs come together? I mean, they're so packed. I mean, that's the nature, I guess, of hip-hop. I mean, the way these words just kind of are packed together, is it something that just comes to you easily, or do you work hard and painfully long at it?
I want to say that they just fall out of my mouth like gold coins, but of course, it's a long process. And I work with my co-music composer, Gabi Alter, a.k.a. G-7, and I work with David Chong, a.k.a. Bad Spella, and we get the basic grooves together, and I write over those. And I also get Sturgis into the studio and record his drums, and we will chop those up and turn them into bits and pieces. And it's a big collaboration to get the grooves going. And then I will just sort of sit by myself and stay up all night and get two-thirds of a song done and wake up the next day and feel like I couldn't possibly finish it. And then a week later, I'll get struck with an idea of how to wrap it up and put it all together, and then it'll have usually just minor rewrites after that.
Mm. It seems like some of your music is both a celebration of nerdiness as well as a critique, and I'm thinking in particular of the song First World Problem, which is sort of a list of complaints.
Your GPS run out of battery. First world problem. Got to wake up Saturday. First world problem. You just delayed the honeymoon. First world problem. Pledge season's coming soon. First world problem. Half your friend list is spam account. First world problem. And you sit the channel speakers out. First world problem. You're not
So there's a bit of a real commentary there. Would you say you have a bit of a, a love-hate relationship with nerd culture?
I don't know. Maybe that song represents my love-hate relationship with capitalism. I've got some various political tracks hidden in there with the fun and games. That one is the lightest touch of the political songs, but it's definitely... I mean, sure, that song is a critique of the things we in the most wealthy of nations find that we need to spend time complaining about. And that song is sort of a response to Twitter, which I have been heavily invested in time-wise the last few years. And just 80% of what you read on Twitter is upper-middle-class people complaining that their internet connectivity is substandard.
And I know. Our life is so hard.
There's really a dearth on Twitter of people complaining about dysentery, you know, having their goats taken away in a flood, really not on Twitter. And those are, in terms of all humankind, probably more pressing concerns.
Mm. Now, as we mentioned, you're going to be playing at the Middle East in Cambridge next week. Is Cambridge, you know, home to MIT and tens of thousands of nerdy, super smart people, particularly appreciative of your act, of your music?
It is a great town for us. And the folks who come out in force, and we very much feel like they hear all the words and know what we're talking about.
Well, that's great. MC Frontalot, thanks so much for coming in and bringing the band in. And can you play us out on something?
Sure. We'll play you Yellow Lasers.
Yellow Lasers. MC Frontalot with Brandon Patton, Ken Flagg, and R. Sturgis Cunningham on percussion.
At the Star Wars convention, did I mention she was looking for love? Had to call her bluff. Lady, you don't mean how that sounded. That 1,000-pound dude in the no-fat chick shirt's astounding.
MC Frontalot will perform at the Middle East Upstairs next Wednesday. For more information, go to our website, radioboston.org.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.
You got to understand, would not look out of place on the arm of an attractive man. So the geeks in attendance got jaws on the floor. One extension.